Lord gave me a long time ago about this integrated ministry and all these different areas that sort of work together to hold us captive and bound and hinder us from experiencing and walking in the fullness of all that God has for us. And the picture that he gave me at this point a number of years ago was like a ball of twine, and all these different pieces were just all wrapped up together in this ball of twine, and it was packed tightly. And coming out of the ball of twine were a few little ends of different strings. And so what he showed me is that, you know, as we walk through this process of healing and freedom, as he begins to take us deeper and uncover more and unload more baggage and impart more good things, and it's like he pulls a little end out of the piece of twine and a little bit more unravels, and then he pulls a little piece over here and a little more unravels, and because it's all tangled up together. All of these things that we've been talking about, the generational iniquity passed down and the sins of the fathers and the curses and the unhealed hurts that we're getting ready to talk about today, the ungodly beliefs that Dave spoke about this morning, all of the unforgiveness, all of these things are all wrapped up and tangled up together on the inside. And we can't unravel it. Because inside of us, all we know is, oh my gosh, it's just hurts. It's just a mess. But God can come in and begin to pull those little strings and begin to unravel things for us little by little. And that's what he does as we submit our hearts to him. And I also wanted to mention, I know some of you are here because you have an interest in being part of like a healing rooms kind of ministry later on. And so we haven't really mentioned, Dave mentioned some other ways that we can apply this kind of ministry. But even in a healing rooms kind of thing, which is very surface and very band-aid type approach, when we have an understanding of how all of these things work together, we can pray for people in a very succinct way, in a very subtle way, and hit some of these things that we sense as the Lord gives us discernment without the person that we're praying for ever even understanding what we're doing. And so understanding all of these areas, these integrated areas that work together, that are all tangled up like that big ball of twine, inside of us and inside of other people that we're praying for, understanding how they work together can help us as the Lord directs us to maybe pull a little string out here or there as we're praying for people. And so I just wanted to kind of give us a little broader picture of how this could be applied as in other ways besides, you know, some sort of official ministry or just an intercession. And, you know, as people come to us and ask for prayer, you know, we can pray, well, Lord, I just ask you to, you know, heal those hurts that I'm sensing are there. Or I ask you to just place the cross of Jesus. I place the cross of Jesus Christ right now between them and their ancestors. And where there may have been some stuff passed down in this area, we just break that off right now in the name of Jesus. You know? And you can just pray very quietly, very subtly around some of these things as we're praying for people also. So, all right, let's just open with some prayer. Father, we come before you again this afternoon, laying our hearts out before you. We ask, Lord, that you would continue that work you've been doing in our hearts this weekend of connecting the dots, and that work you've been doing in our hearts this weekend of dropping things from our head to our hearts, where it moves beyond just information to something that's very real, to our hearts and lives. And Lord, I also ask that right now you would just cover with your peace, Lord, any areas of hurt that are in people's lives right now that could be stirred up in any way by our teaching this afternoon. We just appropriate your peace right now, Lord, over every hurt in every person in this room today. And thank you, Lord, for the covering of your peace. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Before I actually start sharing anything in relation to biblical foundation or scriptures, I wanted to share with you a little bit of my journey through the healing process. I talked with you a little bit before about my family, so you kind of know what I came out of or what I was dealing with growing up. But I didn't talk much about what the Lord has done in me and how I got from where I was to where I am now. And I want to share that with you. I felt like the Lord said that there would be some in this room that could really relate to some of the barriers that I hit in my journey along the way, who could relate in how God brought me through those barriers to a place of greater victory. So you can probably surmise from some of what I shared about my family, my Max Jukes family, that I was pretty bruised and battered and broken by what happened to me as a child. But I had blocked most of it out in reality. There was evidence of it there. If I had had the understanding that I have today, if I'd had the eyes to see the performance orientation, my worth being in what I could achieve, I was very insecure, very fearful. Lots of nightmares where I was always the helpless victim. I went through a season in my life where I would do absolutely anything for love, or what I could convince myself was love, you know. And I was full of pain that I just didn't understand. I tried to escape from the pain in drugs and alcohol for a season, but that didn't work. And then God started bringing healing little by little after I opened my heart to him in my late 20s. And I began to have this understanding that something needed healing, but I didn't know what. And so for that went on for a period of years, and then we ended up in Bible college. And through that process, during those years there, I had this sense that I needed to forgive my parents for something, but I had no idea what. And I became more aware of all the anger that was inside of me, but I didn't know why it was there. And so that went on for, you know, 4 or 5 years. And then we entered another season of our life, and things cranked up a little bit. Then I began to have these panic attacks at night. You know, if Dave would just touch me in the wrong way, I'd go through the roof. And I'd have panic attacks and cold sweats and things going on. And then the Lord brought this young woman across our path who had been raised in a satanic coven and severely abused. And so in reading about things, you know, at that point we were pastoring our first church. And in reading about things, trying to help her, I found myself breaking out in cold sweats and panic attacks every time I would read about this stuff to help her. And I kept thinking, what's going on? I don't understand this. And I remember I was talking with a counselor down in Albuquerque about her, and this person was sharing with me something, I don't even remember what, and all of a sudden I had to jump up and run out to my car and sit in my car because it affected me so badly. And I thought, what's going on? I don't understand, because I had blocked everything out. I mean, all the worst of it. And so, anyway, so little by little, you know, the Lord starts bringing more healing, showing me more, became aware of the anger, became aware of the need to forgive my parents, then realizing, oh, there's something else going on here. Oh, it's connected to this. And anyway, then it got to the place where it sent me into the darkest season of my life. It was like going through a black tunnel with absolutely no end to it. And that went on for 2 years. And the whole time, you know, I'm functioning outwardly. I'm running a restaurant. We're pastoring a church. La, 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 la. But inside, that's where I was at. That's what I was struggling with. But it was the Lord bringing me to this place where finally I could accept that something had happened to me and I was ready to face it. See, up until then, I wasn't ready. I couldn't deal with it. And so when I finally came to that place and said, okay, Lord, I'm ready for you to show me, and then all the memories came flooding back. And so all the pieces began to fall in place and the memories began to surface one by one. And then I finally understood. But here's one barrier that I ran into. Healing for what I had gone through was a concept that I could not grasp. I thought God would heal me someday, quote unquote, when he was ready to do it, and then he would just sort of zap me and I would be healed. And see, I didn't realize how much it was affecting different areas of my life at the time, because I thought I was coping okay. And I didn't realize, I thought I had everything under control. And I secondly didn't realize that God was ready and willing to bring healing as soon as I asked for it. That was a barrier. I had no idea that that was even possible. And thirdly, I didn't realize that I had any part to play in it at all. And so these things kept me for many years from actually experiencing the healing that God had for me. And so time went on, and we ended up in Florida working with this ministry that Dave mentioned. And, you know, we had to kind of go through ministry with them as part of the whole thing. And at the time, it was just a formality. I thought I had everything pretty much together. And I kind of hoped that God might touch this area and bring some healing. But if he didn't, that would be okay. I mean, after all, I had coped for 35 years up to that point, and I was okay. So it was like, well, you know, Lord, I kind of hope you will, but if you don't, it's okay. That was sort of my attitude. And in the midst of all of this, God hit me with the story of the Good Samaritan in a way that I had never, ever seen it before. For the first time in my life, I saw that I was that person who was bruised and bleeding and wounded lying in the middle of the road. And suddenly the pain wasn't hidden anymore. I couldn't keep it hidden anymore. And it wasn't shut away, and I couldn't run away from it anymore. And I realized that that's what I had been doing all those years, was just trying to shut it away, muddle through, and run away from it. And I couldn't anymore. When he brought this understanding with the story of the Good Samaritan, and I realized, that's me. I couldn't hide from it anymore. And I realized, uh-oh. Anyway, through all of that, he made it so clear to me that he didn't want to bring healing some distant day. He wanted to do it there and then, right now. That he had been ready and waiting and willing all of that time. But I hadn't been ready. I hadn't come to that place where I was ready to quit running from the pain and really open my heart to him for him to do it. And he showed me too through that, that his heart was not to be one of those who would pass by and leave me laying there broken and bleeding. His heart was to be the one who would stop and minister to me. And so through all of that, though, he also really convicted my heart that I had to invite him in. Because I was so in so much pain that I was like a snarling, snapping dog, saying, don't come near that, don't touch it. And so he really brought that understanding to my heart in a very gentle way that you have to invite me in. I'm not going to violate your free will. I'm not going to control you where you know, like people might do. He said, you've got to invite me into this place. And so I did. And over the last 18 years, he's brought more and more healing in my life. Now, you know, sometimes people will try to sort of give the impression that, you know, they've been through it all, walked through it all, everything's all dealt with, and they got it all together. But I tell you what, Dave and I will be the first ones to tell you, we're still in this process. You know, we're all in this leaky boat together. And the thing is that, you know, this is a process of God bringing the healing, the freedom, showing us more stuff. It's going to go on for the rest of our lives. We're never going to have it all together. We're never going to be perfected. Until yeah. So what we've been sharing this weekend is not us saying, okay, we know it all. What we've been sharing this weekend is what we've learned as we've walked through this process ourselves. And you know what? He's continuing to show us more. He's continuing to bring more healing. He's continuing to bring more freedom. Every month it's different. Every year it's different. You know, and so 5 years from now, there'll be a whole lot more to what we have to share because he will have walked us through even more. So we're all in this process together. And I just want to say that as he's brought more and more healing since then over the last 18 years, that I have come to know him here as my redeemer and as my healer and as the restorer of the breach in a way that 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even last year, to a depth that I never knew before. Because it's a continuing process. And more he's moving it from here to here. So anyway, I wanted to just share a little about my journey before we moved on. How many of you know that the names of God, where he refers to himself through the scriptures, that the names of God reveal things about him, about his nature and his character, and who he is? Well, here in Exodus 15:26, God revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha. And he said, I'm the Lord who heals you. And it's this word Rapha, it's a redemptive name that God uses for himself here as God our healer. And this is interesting. The Hebrew Rapha means to mend, as in stitching up or mending a torn cloth. It also means to cure, to heal, to repair, and to make whole. And when the Lord showed me this a number of years ago, it just broke my heart into pieces, because one of the perceptions that I had of myself for so many years was a broken doll who could never be mended, who could never be fixed. And so when he showed me that the actual meaning of that word in the Hebrew is to mend, as in stitching up a torn cloth or a broken doll, it just broke my heart into pieces, because it spoke right into where what I had been crying out for so, so many years. Okay, so I'll just repeat that again for those who might not have heard it. To mend, as in stitching up or mending a torn cloth. And it also means to cure, to heal, to repair, and to make whole. Now, many of us have understood for years that God wanted to heal us physically. But the question maybe has been in our hearts, well, what about emotionally? What about mentally? What about spiritually? Does God want to heal us in those ways too? Because in some church circles, you don't hear a lot about that. You know, it's just not talked about. So the answer, of course, is yes, 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 absolutely. And I hope that you'll come away this afternoon with that answered in your heart, that it'll be settled in your heart today once and for all. That God wants to heal your spirit. He wants to heal your emotions. He wants to heal your mind. He wants to heal and saturate every part of your being with who he is. And part of who he is Jehovah Rapha. That's part of who he is. He can't be who he is without being Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And it's not for some distant someday. He has it for us right here, right now, today. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And you know that word salvation means a whole lot more than rescue from hell. It has the connotation of healing, of deliverance, of restoration, of wholeness. All of those things are intertwined in that one word. And behold, today is the day of salvation. This is kind of interesting. This was another one of my little barriers. Excuse me, my nose is running again. For a long time, I had difficulty coming to God with my hurt. because I thought he viewed it as a sin or a weakness to be hurt or wounded. Because that's how I viewed it. I was so ashamed of it that I thought he saw it the same way. And so I had difficulty bringing it to him for that reason. I thought he would be as ashamed of me as I was of myself for being hurt and wounded, because I saw that as a weakness. And so I wouldn't bring him those things because of that misconception. But praise God, you know, when I would just retreat into my cave to lick my wounds and try to get over it as best I could, through those years of bringing more and more healing, he drew me out and showed me that he wasn't ashamed of me, that there wasn't anything to be ashamed of. It wasn't weakness. And that I could come to him and offer those things to him without any embarrassment, without any shame, without any holding back. And say, here I am, God, just I need you to heal this. And that's when the healing really began to take place in my life. Okay. Now, I want to emphasize to us today that hurts occur in the inner man as well as the outer man. And maybe that's sort of a given in all our hearts and minds, but I wanted to say it and spell it out in case it was a little nebulous in our minds and in our hearts and our spirits. Hurts occur in the inner man as well as in the outer man. Now, the words denoting the inner man in the Hebrew and the Greek are frequently translated as soul, heart, or spirit of a man. Whenever you see those words in the English, you know that the scriptures are talking about something in the inner man. Okay. Now, I've heard it said somewhere that forgiveness without healing is incomplete. And I want us to kind of think about that for a minute. Because we talked last night about forgiveness. But see, forgiveness always comes as a result of some sort of hurt. Even if the hurt's just a disappointment or an unfulfilled expectation, it still hurts our heart. But forgiveness is just the first step of the process. The second step of the process is that God wants to heal our heart. And so the forgiveness without the healing is incomplete. There's still another step to come in God's process. And as part of the purpose of Jesus, we see in Luke 4:18, to heal the brokenhearted. Now, Dave and I have prayed for this boot camp, and we've prayed that as we share just very briefly about all these different areas over this weekend, that each of us will receive a healing touch from him, a release from him in some way, and that'll probably be different for each one of us while we're here. That each one of us will leave here changed. And I pray that as we're talking about hurts during this session, that it'll open up something that will allow the Lord to touch some of the hurts in our lives in a deeper way as well. That there'll be a change that happens in our hearts and our spirits this afternoon, so that he can bring greater healing to the woundings of the past. So let's look at what God says about health and healing in the inner man. There's many, 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 many scripture references, but I just wanted to look at a few of these. One is Luke 4:18 that we just mentioned, where Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal." There's a lot in this. Not just heal the brokenhearted, but to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then in Psalm 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. This was an understanding that David had even way back in the Old Testament, that God wants to heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds. It's like the picture of the Good Samaritan right there in the Old Testament. Psalm 145, verse 14, and Psalm 146, verse 8. The Lord lifts or raises those who are bowed down. Do you remember when we were doing the demonstration with Mrs. C., Mrs. Christian, and how all the way to that stuff, I became more and more bowed down? You know, hurts do that. By the time I reached adulthood, I felt like I was not only bowed down, but I was roadkill. So hurts will bow us down, but the Lord wants to lift and raise up those who are bowed down. Jeremiah 31:25, God tells Jeremiah he will satisfy the weary soul. Remember, soul was one of those words used for the inner man. I will satisfy the one who's weary in his inner man, and I will replenish every languishing and sorrowful person. Psalm 41:4, David prayed, "Lord, be merciful to me, heal my soul," or "heal my inner man." That was the cry of his heart. "Lord, heal my inner man." Psalm 23:2-3. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He restores my inner man. He's ready and waiting to do it. The minute we crack that door open an inch, he'll have his foot in and be coming in. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You know, sometimes the hurts aren't just hurts. Sometimes they're things that crush us. But he's ready and waiting there to bring restoration, to bring healing, to bring wholeness to those who are crushed, who have been crushed by life. In 3 John chapter 2, he said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul or your inner man prospers." Now, I included this one because it's a picture of where God wants to take us. No longer brokenhearted, no longer crushed in spirit, no longer languishing and sorrowful, but healthy in the inner man, prospering in the inner man, full of his life, full of his joy, full of his peace, full of his healing. That's where he wants to take us. So let's go to Luke chapter 10 for just a moment. And let's look at the Good Samaritan, because I wanted to just point out a couple of things that the Lord showed me so many years ago that made such a difference in my life at that time. Okay, the parable starts in verse 25. And I'm not going to actually read it, but I want to point out a couple of things. In verse 30, Jesus says, this man fell among thieves. And what the Lord opened up to me at that time was that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy in our lives. He's just like the thieves that man fell among. You know, he's just walking down the road, and the next thing he knows, he's blindsided. Has that ever happened to you? It sure happened to me. I'm just walking along thinking, next thing I know, I'm flat, splat on the ground, broken, bleeding, and I think, oh my gosh, how did I get here? What happened? So we have an enemy that's looking for opportunities to blindside us, just like what happened to this man. A thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Then in the later part of verse 30, it says that the thieves stripped him and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Well, you know, when I read that all those years ago, I went, oh my gosh, that's me. You know, I've been stripped naked. And I'm laying here wounded and half dead. And then going on to verse 33. Oh, when it talks about the priest who came by and passed him by and the Levite who looked and passed on the other side. You know what the Lord showed me about that? A lot of times people teach that these people didn't care. That's why they passed him by. But you know what the Lord showed me? He said, Dee, these are just people who are embarrassed because they don't know how to help. They don't know what to do. And they're embarrassed by their helplessness and their inability. So that's why they pass by. And my prayer is that, you know, as we continue to get equipped in these areas, that we won't be like the priest and the Levite who pass by those that we see who are broken, struggling, hurting. We won't pass them by out of embarrassment because we don't know how to help them. That the Lord will give us keys and bring enough revelation in our hearts that we will be able to stop like the Samaritan and pour in the oil and wine and bind up the wounds. So, anyway, going on. Oh, dear. Now I can't see. Going on to verse 33. The Samaritan, this really hit me hard. He had compassion. You know, that was one of the things that we see throughout the gospel accounts of Jesus. He healed people out of the compassion that he had for them. That was his motivation. It wasn't to do a good work. It wasn't to, it was out of that compassion that he had in his heart. And what the Lord showed me here was that the Samaritan's actually a picture of the Holy Spirit. He's the one people pass us by because they don't know what to do. But the Holy Spirit will never pass us by. He's willing, he's ready, he's waiting to come and to pour in the oil and wine from the throne of God and to bind up our wounds. And later on in this account, I think it's verse 34, says he bandaged his wounds, poured on the oil and the wine, and then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And what the Lord spoke to my heart in that all those years ago was that I will carry you to a safe place in me. See, that was one of the things why I didn't want anybody to touch it. I didn't want God to touch it. I didn't want anybody to stomp on my wounds. You know, it's like, don't touch me. Don't get near it. But the Lord impressed on my heart, I'll bind up the wounds and I will carry you to a safe place in me. I'm a safe harbor for you where that healing can take place. I won't tromp on your pain. And so that's what he spoke to me out of that account all those years ago. And I wanted to share with that with you. Because I had the sense that it might speak to some of our hearts today. Now let's talk a little bit about where hurts come from. And this probably won't be any surprise to anybody in here, but hurts often begin in the family. And they affect the entire family. Because generational iniquity and curses passed down and that sin flowing through our family line, guess what? It results in wounded families. And guess what? Wounded families exhibit dysfunctional behavior patterns. No surprise there. And so because most families are wounded and dysfunctional to some degree, because the people in them are wounded, most of us have numerous unhealed hurts which originated within our families. But there's a lot of other situations which can cause hurt. And here's just a few. One is death of a loved one. Another is divorce. Another is abortion or abortions. Another is unwanted children, childlessness, abuse can cause hurt, whether sexual, physical, verbal, or emotional. Violence, rape, robbery, attack. All of these things can cause woundings in our lives. Trauma and accidents. Disability or chronic infirmity. Job loss or failures. Misunderstanding or rejection by others can also cause woundings in our lives. And remember when we were talking about unforgiveness? I mentioned that perception is everything. Rejection is a biggie. You know, it's a root that we find very frequently in our lives. And so it doesn't actually have to even be rejection by others which causes the hurt in our lives. It can be our perception that we've been rejected, which causes the same intensity of hurt. It doesn't matter whether the rejection was real or whether the rejection was perceived. The hurt is the same. Abandonment, whether physical or emotional, can cause wounding. Poverty. Disappointments. Remember that verse, hope deferred makes the heart sick? You know what that's talking about is disappointment. It results in a sick heart, in a wounding in the inner man. Ridicule, embarrassment, labels. Ungodly control or manipulation. betrayal or false accusation. All of these are just some of the myriad of things that we can experience walking through life, which can cause hurt. Now, I feel like I ought to say this here. I hadn't planned to, but, you know, getting healed of hurts that have already happened is one thing God wants to do. But he also wants to bring us to a place where we're so strong in the inner man that we don't get hurt like we used to. That the things that used to offend us or the things that used to just tear us apart, you know, before they have a chance to devastate us, we can go to the Lord and give them to him and receive his divine enablement to walk in healing before we ever get hurt. And I believe that's where he wants to take all of us. Okay, so that's just a picture of what he has ahead for each of us. You know, it's one thing to... There's a little saying that we have in the world, but I can't think what it is right now. But it's one thing to, like, fix a flat tire. It's another thing to never get a flat tire in the first place. You know, and so I see the Lord wanting to bring us to a place where we are so strong in him. And that's the key thing, in him, not in ourselves, not in our own strength, but so strong in him that these things don't have the chance to get us to a place where we're hurt and wounded and broken and bleeding, where he has to then bring healing to fix it. But we never get there in the first place. So I just want to throw that out there, because I believe that's where he wants to take all of us. All right. Now, let's look at the broad and varied nature of hurts. And I put a little note in the workbook. No boxes, please. Because we have a tendency to put things in boxes. And you know what? Because we are so unique, because we are all individuals, we've all had different experiences, we've been raised in different families, everything is different. God created us all unique. Everything works differently in each one of our lives. We can't make boxes to put all of this in. So there's a broad spectrum in size and intensity of the hurts that we experience. Even the same kinds of hurts will affect each of us uniquely. A particular situation may not affect Suzette at all, but I may go through that, face that same situation, and it might devastate me because we're unique, we're different, we're individuals. So let's not make boxes and try to put everybody in the same box or try to put everybody in our box. Okay? There's also much variety in the types of hurts that we experience. And there's even a difference in the awareness level of the hurt in our lives. You remember when I talked about my journey through healing, for many years I didn't even realize there was anything there because I'd blocked it all out. Then after a lot of years, I finally came to this realization, oh, there's something there, but I don't know what it is. Then after many more years, I came to the realization, oh my gosh, there really is something there, and it's bad, and I'm running from it, and I don't want to deal with it, and I don't even want to see it, and I don't want to let God near it. And then after a number of more years, I finally came to the place where, oh gosh, I know what it is, but I still don't want God to touch it. And then after several more years, I finally got to the place where I said, okay, God, all I want is to be free and healed. Have at it. Okay. So there's even a difference in the awareness level of hurt in our lives. Generally, the more recent hurts, the ones we call fresh, quote unquote, are the ones that are uppermost in our minds and hearts. We're more aware of what somebody said to us last week that hurt us than we are usually of what happened 30 years ago. Okay? Older hurts tend to be forgotten, even though they may be unhealed and still affecting us. That's kind of important. Older hurts tend to be forgotten, even though they may be unhealed and still affecting us. And because a hurt's not remembered doesn't mean it was small or unimportant. Sometimes the most traumatic hurts were so painful that the person couldn't cope with the pain and blocked it from their memory, as I did. All right, now, hurts, I want to talk about this a little bit, that hurts affect us more than we think. Hurts affect the entire person. They're like a cancer living in the person's life, unseen, hidden, but stealing life. See, we think, oh, I got this little thing going on right here, and it's limited to just this little thing right here. We don't realize that it's affecting our entire life. Hurts can affect our physical body with infirmity or disease. Hurts can affect our mind with painful flashbacks, ungodly thinking, mistrust, distorted perceptions and goals, and a lot of other things. Hurts can affect our emotions, bringing torment, turbulence, anxiety, and negative emotions like fear and hate and self-loathing and anger, shame, etc., etc. You know what we call those things? Dave and I. If you think about hurts being like wounding, okay? We call that those things the pus around the wound. You know, sometimes you gotta lance the wound and get that stuff out so God can come in with the oil and the wine and clean it out good and bind it up so there can be healing that actually takes place. That's just a little aside. Hurts can affect behavior, causing self-destructive patterns, passivity, rebellion, ungodly control, or the shutdown, complete shutdown of emotions. Hurts can affect the spirit, bringing heaviness, dullness, darkness, weariness, a turning away from God. And hurts also distort our identity and our purpose. You know, for all those years, I saw myself, my identity, as a broken doll who could never be mended or fixed. And my purpose, I saw as just someone to be used and thrown away. But as God brought healing, He opened up a whole new identity for me. The person that He created me to be before the foundation of the world. And He began to open up His purpose for me. I'll share this with you. You know, we were in Bible college long before I really started receiving much healing, and I was so shy, so insecure, so bound up, that even our senior year in Bible college, I could not pray out loud in front of another person, including Dave. But that was before the Lord brought so much healing in my life. Healing changes a lot of things, especially in terms of our identity, understanding our identity and our purpose. Okay, finally, hurts can hinder and block our spiritual growth. Hurts blind us to our potential. They lock us behind the walls of self-protection. They are the birthplace of fears and ungodly beliefs. See, now I'm starting to give us a little clue about how some of all this ties together. Hurts are the birthplace of fears and ungodly beliefs. And they block us from intimacy with God and with others. Now, we'll go into all this in a lot more depth and unfold it more in the next seminar, but I hope this gives us a picture, a bigger picture of what God wants to do and where He's taken us and how all this works together. But I want to reiterate here, I believe this is in your workbook, that the first step in the healing process is forgiveness. And the hurts won't be healed without it. Because that unforgiveness will block any healing that God wants to pour in. Because not because of Him, but because of the barrier that we've raised in our own hearts. Okay. Now, I wanted to share an analogy just real quick here at the end that we've kind of seen through the years about when we have unhealed hurts. You know, like, let's say I got this big gaping wound right here. Well, it's going to change the way I walk, right? Because if I'm walking along and, oh my gosh, I'm going to see that pole there and I'm going to step way over here to make sure there's no chance of that pole hitting that wounded place. So when we have unhealed hurts, it's going to change the way we walk. And not only that, but, you know, if we've got a big gaping wound here and then something does hit it or we get a little knock on top of it, oh my gosh, does it hurt like a dog. If I brushed against this and I had no wound there, if I brushed against this pole, I would hardly even notice, right? But if I already had a wound here and I brushed against this pole, I would be in agony. Because it came on top, the little brush came on top of a wound that was already there and hadn't been healed. Okay? So what happens in our lives is a lot of times we have woundings from the past, things that we've just forgotten about, we didn't really deal with it, we've gone on with our life, and they're still there. We're just not aware of it. And so we're carrying ourselves differently. We've changed the way we walk to make sure that doesn't get bumped again, even though we're not consciously aware of it. And when it does get bumped, it hurts. Oh, it hurts so bad. And that's what we're aware of is the latest hurt. Not the one that's underneath there that never got healed. And so I want to encourage us today that, you know, we want to let God go deep in our lives to get the ones that are underneath. Because you know what? If He heals the ones that are underneath and that's healed, then I can bump into this pole all I want and it doesn't hurt. So I want to leave us with that encouragement today. Let's let Him go deep, but let's let Him do it. You know, we don't want to go down in there and drudge stuff up. Let's let the Holy Spirit do it, because He knows when we're ready a lot better than we do. Okay? So, you know, I was going to talk about Jeremiah 17:14, but you've got it there in your notes. You can look it up. Let's just stop there. And Father, we just want to offer You our hearts right now in a fresh way today, and invite You to come in and just do more of Your work in our hearts and lives in whatever way that, whatever that entails. We just open our hearts to You. Lord, we want to be healed. We want to be free. We want to be those who can minister healing and freedom to others. We want to be those who can encourage others that there's more in You. There's more. And so we just bless You and honor You today, Lord. And we want to make a declaration before You today, Lord, that our hearts are after You. You said David was a man after Your own heart. And our hearts want to be after You. We want that to characterize our lives, Lord, that we won't stop. We won't slow down. We won't be hindered in pursuing You and all that You have ordained for us as Your sons and daughters, until we've partaken more and more of that inheritance that You have for us as the children of God.